Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Jacqueline Sova, and today we will be studying Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. We just completed the Nevi'im Rishonim, the earlier prophets, and Yeshayahu is the first of the Nevi'im Achronim, the later prophets. People often confuse the chronology of these Nevi'im, assuming these later prophets came after the Nevi'im Rishonim. Yeshayahu, as we will soon learn, gave nevuah, prophecy, during the rule of four kings, making it clear that he lived during the same time as parts of Malachim Bet. Interestingly, the book of Yeshayahu was written before Malachim Bet. So the terms Nevi'im Rishonim and Nevi'im Achronim mostly reflect stylistic differences. The Gemara in Bava Basra compares Yeshayahu to the two other Nevi'im Achronim, Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, noting that what makes Yeshayahu unique is that his sefer is kulei nechamta, full of comforting prophecies, whereas the other two Nevi'im deal with destruction as well. It's interesting that the name Yeshayahu has the shoresh yud shin ayin, like the word Yeshua, which means redemption. Yirmiyahu, on the other hand, has the root word mem resh, mar, which means bitter. Yeshayahu's messages are associated with comfort and consolation. We will soon see, though, that Yeshayahu has some very harsh messages to share with the Jewish people. But Yeshayahu wants his prophecy to wake the Jewish people up to do teshuvah. Embedded in the difficult message is an optimism that the people can change themselves and therefore their future. His prophecies also consistently end with comforting words to cushion the harsh messages and ultimately try to remind them of what they can be if they choose to change. As we begin Perek Aleph, it's important to know that according to many opinions, the first chapter is actually Perek Vav, Chapter 6. When we get to Chapter 6, we will discuss why the book doesn't open with it if it chronologically came first. Finally, this chapter, Perek Aleph, is the Haftorah read the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That Shabbos is called Shabbos Chazon, or Shabbat Chazon, after the very first word of our Perek, Chazon. In the first Pasuk, we are introduced to our Navi, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz. A general rule is that when someone is mentioned with his father's name, it means they were both Nevi'im. His father Amoz was a Navi, and his father's brother was Amatzia, who was the king. So Yeshayahu's uncle, being Amatzia, made Yeshayahu very close to the royal family. This explains why his language was so sophisticated and impressive. Chazon. There are actually 10 different terms that can be used for nevuah. This specific term, chazon, teaches us two central ideas. First, Chazon warns us that a harsh message is going to be shared. It is an expression of harshness. But on a deeper level, Chazon is actually a reflection of Yeshayahu's entire mission. According to Rav Hirsch, Chazon means to see something that is invisible to the eye. In Yeshayahu's time, it was difficult to notice anything wrong happening. People looked religious and did religious acts and services. To the naked eye, everything was fine and nothing was wrong. It was Yeshayahu's mission to reveal how things are much worse than they appear, to avoid the catastrophe that would occur 150 years later with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's this lack of consciousness, the lack of awareness, that this entire parak is coming to reveal. Before we delve in, I want to point out that his opening words are, Shimu Shamayim V'ha'azini Eretz, listen heavens and earth. These words strongly echo the words of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshat Ha'azinu, where Moshe says, Ha'azinu ha'shamayim v'adabeira, v'tishma ha'aretz imrefi. Listen heavens, and I will speak. Listen land to my words. Yeshayahu weaves many words from the Torah into his messages throughout the entire Sefer. And with this, his message begins. Banim gidalti v'romamti v'him pashubi. I have raised children. These people were meant to be my children. Viromamti, and I even elevated them among the other nations to influence the world for the better. But Haim Pashubi, they rebelled against me. They are falling short of the great people they could and should be. Yada shur konehu v'chamor ivas be'alav. Even an ox instinctively knows his owner, and a donkey knows that his master provides food for him. Yisrael lo yada. But Yisrael, they don't know me. Ami lo hitzbonan, my nation doesn't contemplate. They don't even think about me. You can hear in the word ami, my nation, a sense of longing for a relationship with Klal Yisrael and the sadness that Hashem feels that they don't want that relationship with him. Hashem knows what these people are capable of being and laments how low they have fallen. In Pasuk Daled, verse 4, Yeshayahu has four different ways of referring to the Jewish people. They are not merely negative terms. They directly reflect how low they have fallen from the level they could be at. We will see that for each seemingly negative phrase, there is a direct positive phrase to show the level they could reach. The Pasuk begins with a big sigh. Ay. Goy Chotei, a nation who sins. This is in direct contrast to how Hashem refers to them in Shemos as a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation. You were once a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation, and now you're a Goy Chotei, a nation who sins. Am Kever Avon, a nation heavy with sin. But in Devarim you are called an Am Kadosha Tal Hashem Elokecha, a holy nation to Hashem your God. Zera Mereim, evil doing offspring. But you were referred to as Zera Beirach Hashem, an offspring that Hashem blesses. But now you're an evil-doing offspring? Banim Mashchitim, destructive sons. This conflicts with Banim Atem LaHashem Elokichem. You are the sons of Hashem, your God. Yeshayahu was telling them that they may have fallen so low, but each of these phrases reminds them of the potential they have to rise so high. Pesukim He through Vav, 5 and 6, reflect their complete lack of introspection to whatever punishments Hashem sent their way. Yeshayahu describes a person full of bruises and blemishes who does nothing to cure himself. The imagery is of someone who desperately needs band-aids and cream for his ailments, but ignores the need. Yeshayahu is telling the people, it is still possible to find the cure to your spiritual downfall, but no one is bothering to look for any. In Psukim Tet through Yud, 9 and 10, Yeshayahu goes so far as to refer to them as Sodom and Amorah. This helps us understand what was so evil behind their religious facade. If they walked the walk, then what was this chazon coming to reveal? What did they do that caused them to sink so low? Sodom and Amorah were known for their corrupt social justice system. What was beginning to unravel within the Jewish people were standards of honesty. People were bribing, cheating, stealing, taking advantage and oppressing the poor and the helpless. This is why in Pesukim Yud Aleph through Tetvav, 11 through 15, Hashem speaks quite strongly. Some main phrases from those Pesukim are, Lama li rov zivchechem? Why do you bring all of these korbanot? V'dam parim ukvasim v'atudim lo chafatzi. I don't want any of your sacrifices. Chadshechem u'moadechem sana nafshi. I have come to despise your Rosh Chodesh, your Yamim Tovim, and Chagim. Hayu alai latorach. They have become a burden to me. Ki tarbu tefila, ineni shomea. You pray a lot, but I am not listening. We again feel like what was once so precious and special and holy between us and Hashem. Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, the Chagim, Korbanos. They've fallen so low. These words are obviously quite shocking and painful. How could Hashem not want our bids for connection? But bringing korbanos and coming to the Beis HaMikdash was meant to inspire real change in people. It was an opportunity to express our deep desire to come close to Hashem. Korban is from the word karov, close, because a korban with kavana, with intention, was meant to strengthen their relationship with Hashem. But if there was no intention whatsoever to improve their ways, these religious services were not wanted. A korban without any intentional thought at all or resolve to change was meaningless. The pasuk ends reminding us of the complete contradictions within these people. Yedechem damim malayu. Your hands are full of blood. Not literal bloodshed, but social evils where people were taking advantage of others and treating people poorly, undermining other people's happiness. Do not raise your hands in empty prayers to me when you use those hands to oppress others. But Yeshayahu is kulei nechamta, and Pesukim Tzayin through Chaf 16 through 20 remind the people that they still can do teshuvah, and there is still hope for positive change. Rachatzu, Hizaku, Haziru Roa Me'alalechem Minegedeinai, Chidlu Hareya. Wash yourselves, clean yourselves, remove your evil actions from before my eyes, stop doing evil. Limdu Heitev, Dirshu Mishpat, Ashru Chamot, Shiftu Yatom, Rivu Almana. Learn to do good, seek justice, support the oppressed, give justice to the orphan, and fight for the widow. Real, actionable steps that create real change is required for teshuva. Limdu heitev, learn what it means to be good and treat people well. Become conscious of your actions again. And Pasuk Yud Chet, verse 18, shows the amazing impact teshuva can have. Lechu na b'ni vachacha, yomar Hashem. Im yihyu chata'echem kashanim, kashela yabinu. Im ya'adimu katola, katsemer yihyu. If your sins are scarlet red threads, they will become white as snow. If they are like red dye, they will become like wool. The Malbim explains two approaches to this pasuk. First, there is the red dye, and then there's the material that was dyed red. Think of a shirt that is red versus the actual red dye. Obviously, the dye itself is much more severe in its redness. The dyed shirt is like less severe averos. It's less severe sins. And those can become white like snow with teshuva, totally erased and forgotten. But the dye represents the more severe averos a person does. But even with those, there is still room for teshuva. Even when your sins are like the dye itself, which are much more severe in nature, one's teshuva can mitigate the severity to look like wool, an off-white color. But another approach of the Malbim is that the dye colors other materials. A red shirt cannot color something else, but the red dye can. The red shirt is like a person who commits a sin, but does not impact other people. The red dye, though, stains other people's shirts, like someone who influences others to sin with him. Doing teshuva for your own sins can turn the red shirt, so to speak, to look fully white like snow. But when we drag others along with us to sin, we cannot do teshuva for the impact we had on others. We can still do teshuva, which is remarkable, but we can only clean it to the point of like looking like wool, like an off-white color. Pesukim Yotet through Chaf 19 through 20 urge the people to realize the power of their actions. If you follow and listen to Hashem, you will eat from the best of the land. But if you refuse and remain stubborn in your ways, you will be destroyed by the sword. Yeshayahu reminds them that the world runs on mida keneged mida, and our actions have consequences. We therefore need to wake up and become thoughtful about what kinds of road our actions are leading us down. As Rav Hirsch's son, Rav Julius Hirsch, summarizes the choices, obedience and salvation, or disobedience and annihilation. And then comes perhaps the most powerful word in the entire perek, Eicha. Eicha haita lezona kirya ne'emana. How did you, Yerushalayim, fall so low and become unfaithful to betray Hashem's trust? This certainly touches a nerve the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av when we read Megillas Eicha. When Hashem asked Adam in Bereshis, Ayaka, where are you? The Malbim notes that Hashem is really asking, how did you fall so low? The same word here is Eicha, pronounced differently, and in Megillas Eicha, and it's certainly asking the same question. How did you get to this point that you have fallen so low from the beautiful level you could be at? But the parak ends with a promise that Hashem will remove all evil and take revenge on his enemies. Hashem will restore justice, loyalty, and sincerity. Va'ashiva shoftayach kevarishona. I will return leaders to be like what we once had. V'yoatzayach kevatchila. And have advisors like we originally had. Acharechein ikarelach ir hatzedek kirya ne'emana. Then Yerushalayim will once again be a loyal, faithful city. Tzion b'mishpat tipada v'shaveha b'tzedakah. Yerushalayim will finally be redeemed through justice and tzedakah. By finally becoming conscious, waking up and taking notice of our actions, bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chaveiro, fixing our relationship with Hashem and our interpersonal relationships. These words are part of our Shmona Esrei tefillah, Hashiva Shofteinu Kavarishona, where we still pray for Hashem to return us to a time when our leaders are role models and Yerushalayim will be full of honesty and compassion. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.